Father, we do come that we might feed from that great supply, from that great fountain of eternal life. Lord, we just ask that you would speak to our hearts this morning. May you bless each one that has put forth the effort to come together, Lord, to fellowship together around the body word of the Son of Man. Lord, let it be real to our hearts every day. Lord, forgive us our short places, our slackness, Lord, in this flesh. But Lord, let that inner man thrive, reach out, Lord, and give thanks and praise to your lovely name. Lord, we just ask for the leadership of the Holy Spirit to guide us in the furtherance of this service. So we thank you, Lord, for the sweetness of your Spirit, the songs, the words, for all things. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You can be seated. Good to see you this morning. So glad to have Brother Adam with us this morning. And Brother Michael went and picked him up and brought him over. And be going, I think, this afternoon, have some time with his family. And so we just thank the Lord for the progress that he's made. And we're rejoicing in the Lord, Brother Adam, that God is blessing you and helping you to overcome. And each one of us, we are overcoming the flesh every day. And so we thank God for his mercy and grace upon us. Good to see Joe with us this morning. And we want to just commit all things to him. I want to say we enjoyed the messages Brother Goomba's been ministering.
Yes.
And Wednesday, we pointed out some things. Wednesday brought a lot of good points. And so we have enjoyed that very much. And I keep thinking Brother Goomba's planted that seed about Brother Michael, and he just keeps pushing it. And so we want him to feel free to come anytime. And so if you're wondering if that's an invitation, it is. Amen. So and then also we're looking forward to the Easter meetings coming now.
Yes.
Getting close. And so we're a month out, and we're looking forward to that. And I haven't heard back from Brother Keenan. We did talk to them. Brother Chris did tell me that he would be coming. He would minister. And so we're looking forward to that very much. And so now I want to get right into the message this morning. And so I titled this God and Morphid. And I figured I would keep that title for two or three services, because I've been titling every message differently, kind of trying to be specific, but this is a little bit spread out. And one of the things that I wanted to get in this, two things I wanted to really get in this, is who is the Son? We know we've talked about the Father a lot. We talked about that's the Spirit. And so we know what the Holy Ghost is. That's the Spirit. And so the coming forth of the Son, Brother Branham says so many things, because he identified the Son, the Logos, coming out of God in the beginning, and then he identified him at the virgin birth. He identified again the Son. And so one was before the birth of Christ, before there was any flesh, and the other one was the flesh. And so going there, I want to get into the message, who is this Melchizedek, because he's going to talk about the theophany. And so that's where we want to get to. And Brother Branham talked about a lot about this back in the 50s. He talked about the theophany, and there's some of the things that he's going to say, if we get to it this morning, that might be hard to understand. I have some questions. The reason I say that, because I have questions myself. I have questions myself. And some of these, the things that we're going to read in this message, I've even talked to some of the brothers about, and asked them what God has let them see on it. And in some time back, because I've been thinking about this a long time. And so, but I'll try not to get ahead of myself. We'll wait till we get there. So let's begin here at paragraph 29, and who is this Melchizedek? He says, now turning with me, if you will, to the book of Hebrews, and another revelation on the message. And I wanted to identify that as we start into that, because Brother Branham is identifying this message as a revelation. And the title is, Who is this Melchizedek? And that's, he's going to reveal that. He's going to reveal who this Melchizedek is. And I've always said that he already knew that Melchizedek was God. That has been a given. Way back in the 50s, Brother Branham knew who Melchizedek was. And we're going to read out of the Bible the reason he knew that. The simplicity of it. And I have the quotes. I had some of those quotes I was looking at this morning. But this message is full of revelation, because there's so many things in this message that he had never knew before. The world had never known before. The church had never known before. It just began to be unfolded. And so it was the revelation for this day that could only come forth after the opening of the seven seals. And so let us read there. Beginning in the scripture here, he said, For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, neither beginning of days or ending of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. And I want to read that one again, and just go slow, let it sink in. This man we're talking about here was without father and without mother. He was without descent. And I looked up the word descent. When Brother Goomba was asking for the meaning of cannon fodder on Wednesday night, I just said waste, and that's what it was. But when I went and I looked it up, Brother, I was surprised at what the meaning of cannon fodder was. Because cannon fodder is in battle, in war. Cannon fodder is when you have an element of your army that you consider expendable, not important. And the leadership, the leaders in that army or in that military consider this part of their soldiers expendable. And in the years past, in the early years, the China and many other countries too, not just China, they were very bad about sending their children to the forefront of a battle. And we know that our soldiers ran into that during Vietnam and some of the different battles. They would strap bombs on them and they would send them out to the front. And so then people who had a moral conscience had to struggle with, are we going to, and many died because they wouldn't shoot the child. And as you can understand, at first they didn't know what was going on because it was hidden. And then after a while, they knew what was happening. And then they had to make a choice. And so his battle could be so brutal and mentally debilitating. It could be so hard. But anyways, cannon fodder, in the meaning of it, is that which is expendable or not important. And so we thank God when it comes to his seed, he's not going to lose a one. Amen. He's not going to lose a one. Yes, and we think, and the rest of it is there to serve a purpose. Amen. Is there to serve a purpose to in God's great drama. Yes. But in this word here, he said this person had no descent. And so I wanted to see, make sure I had clear what that was. I'm going to read you a couple of different ones. But actually, you have it there. Descent signifies that you're coming from an ancestor, indicating one's lineage or family background. And two, in the physical sense, descent refers to the act of moving from a higher elevation to a lower one, such as descending a staircase or a mountain or an aircraft landing. Metaphorical use. Descent can denote a decline or deterioration in status, quality, or value. So with God, he's not coming from a lower place and going to a higher place. He's not coming from a higher place and going to a lower place. Mm-hmm. He is all of it.
Yes.
He's all of it. He's all-knowing, omnipresent, omniscient. He can't add to a statue. You can't take away from a statue.
Amen.
God is all in all.
Yes.
And so sometimes we can't quite comprehend, but he knows everything that there is to know.
Yes.
We'll never know in this life everything. We'll never know. And we don't have the ability. This carnal mind don't have that ability. It is the smartest of smart don't have that ability. There's people that know this nuclear fusion and all of these different things. Those people are extremely, extremely brilliant. And when I was a young man about Cameron's age, I was watching TV one time as a young boy, and it was a religious, it was an interview of some kind, I don't know what it was on, and there was a man there, and he could quote every single verse of the New Testament and most of the Old Testament. You could tell him a scripture, and he would tell you where it was at. Or you could give him the scripture, and he would tell you what it said. And just, that's marvelous. You know, that's amazing.
Yes, sir.
But that is not a relationship with God.
Amen.
That
right.
is not a revelation with God.
That's right.
And everything about God is by revelation.
Yes, sir.
And God's proving that.
Yes.
Now, that's been all the way through. That's been all the way from the beginning, coming all the way to this day.
Amen.
But God's proving it more today than ever before, because now we are now at the true revelation of the Word of God.
Yes,
never before has the fullness of the Word been opened up. And so if Satan had much during the ages, if he had much during those days before that,
yes,
that he could deceive the people and get them off the Word, how much more does he have today?
Amen.
When the fullness have been opened up? And that's why this is such a fine line. This is what Brother Branham said, it was a razor edge.
Yes, sir.
And he said, this is the capping. This is the capstone. This is the time when God is bringing forth the true revelation of all that he is.
Amen.
And all that he had hidden. And nobody's going to get it but the bride.
That's right.
Nobody's going to get it but the bride. I don't care how close they are. I don't care how many verses, how many quotes that they can quote and that they can say and they can memorize. All of that's good. I love to be able to memorize something. I'm not very good at it, but when you can just pull something up from memory and quote it, that's nice. That's wonderful.
That's right.
And I like it. I like to hear it. I like to hear people that knows that you know they're reading, you know they're studying, you know that they're reading it so much that it's sticking with them.
Yes.
That's all wonderful. But that's not it.
Amen.
If it has not become a reality, then we're not there yet.
Yep.
It's got to be a reality. And when it becomes a reality, it's going to become more important than everything else.
Amen.
It has to become more important.
Yep.
It becomes more important than this physical man.
Yes, sir.
It becomes more important than our job. It becomes more important than everything else. He has got to be number one.
Yes, sir.
And if he's not number one, it's going to show up down the road.
That's right.
You think about it. It's going to show up.
Yep.
Somewhere it's going to come back. And we're going to face it. And we can push it off and push it off, push it off. But God will bring us to the mirror. And the mirror is his word.
Yes,
he's going to bring us face to face with it. And he might let you push it off for a little while. You're going to come face to face with it. And if that seed is not there, it's not going to make it. It's not going to make it.
That's right.
And if that seed's there, it's going to have to die and rot, and it's going to have to manifest what it is.
Yes.
And so every seed has to bring forth.
Amen.
And I don't want to get sidetracked, but I've seen some of the, I read just a little bit yesterday what they were posting on the group, and it was, what little bit I read was really good, and I didn't want to join in because I had missed so much of it, and didn't have the time to read. I wish I had more time for that. But so many good things I know was put there. So one of the things that caught my attention was when they were talking about the seed, that all of the seeds were there, and they were waiting to be manifested. There was many seeds there that was coming because the seed of this day, it was coming. It was coming.
Yes.
All of it was there, and all of it was in God's mind. God was bringing all of it. But there were also some of that seed was being manifested in that day.
That's right, yes, sir.
Because there was a that day, and there was an Adam, and there was an Eve, and there was the garden, and there was all of that. It was being manifested.
Yes.
That part was being manifested right then, and it just continued from there, and those seeds continually came forth and came forth and came forth.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think that was probably being said. I think that's some of what Brother Goomba was saying, that it wasn't like nothing was being done until this day. No, it's been being done. It's been God all the way through.
Yes, sir.
It's been God all the way through.
Amen.
Manifesting himself, manifesting that seed. And we know that the fruit come to the fullness in this time.
Amen.
And we thank God for that. We know that we are the most blessed group of people that have ever lived on the face of the earth.
That's right.
Amen. That's just all. Amen. Let's read it. I want to read the scripture one more time. Without father, without mother, without descent, neither beginning of days or end of life, but made like unto the Son of God. Now this is way back there now. Let your mind go. This is way back there in the Old Testament. That this person is made like unto the Son of God. Abideth a priest continually. Mm-hmm. Now, let's see in paragraph 30. Think of this great person, of how great this man must be. Now the question is, who is this man? Who is he? And we want that to be part of what we're looking at. Who is this man? Theologians has had different ideas. See? But since the opening of the seals, the mysterious book that's been mysterious to us, according to Revelations 10:1-7, all the mysteries that's wrote in this book, that's been hid down through the age of the reformers, is supposed to be brought into view by the angel of the last church age. How many knows that's right? Congregation says, amen. That's right. Supposed to be brought, all the mysteries of this mysterious book is to be revealed to the Laodicean messenger of that age.
Amen.
And now, this because of this question of idea, Brother Branham said, the theologians just has many different ideas. And so have we.
Yes.
Not as theologians, even as believers.
Mm-hmm.
We had many ideas. I've had many ideas.
Yes.
And until God gives me a revelation, it's just an idea. And Brother Branham said, the mind is the womb.
Yes.
And that's where it starts.
Yep.
Until God lets it come down into the soul and become a reality, it's an idea.
Yep.
And the seventh angel messenger, he had ideas. He had ideas until God revealed to him what the revelation of it was.
Amen.
And there's no shame in that.
Yep.
That's all we can do. We are living in a physical being that has an intellectual, even a carnal mind and understanding. And that's what it is until it becomes a revelation.
Yes, sir.
And that's what Brother Branham said about the seven seals. When he prayed and prayed and prayed for days and days and days. And he's on the day that he's beginning to preach the first seal.
That's right.
And he don't know what to do. And God hasn't told him what it is.
Yep.
And the days, the hours are going by. Any minister, you know what that feels like when you're trying to get it together, you're trying to put something together. You can't imagine what it was for him in that moment. This was not just another message. This was not just an evangelistic message or something else. This was the revelation of the seven seals that had been laying in the scripture for 2,000 years.
Yes, sir.
And he didn't know what to do. And God hadn't told him what to do. God hadn't told him what it was. So what did he do? His only idea, the only thing that come to his mind was to go back to his notes where he had preached it many years ago. Yep. And he took what the theologians had said. Yep. And he came to that white horse rider was Christ. And he was going to preach the same thing again.
That's right.
Why? That's all we have.
Yep.
It's all we have. We're right here until God reveals it to us.
Amen.
And we can pray and we can cry. I mean, we can cry and we can pray and we can ask God.
Amen.
But that's where we're at.
That's right. Yes, sir.
I was telling our brother the other day. Many times have I come to the pulpit with quotes that I don't have a revelation of. Mm-hmm. And that's just being honest.
Yes,
that's just being honest.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I'm comfortable to come to this pulpit because I have a revelation that this message is thus saith the Lord.
Sir. Amen.
I've read the Bible. And not have the revelation of what it's saying. I read the scripture and not know what something's saying. But I know it's the word of God, so I know that I can read it.
Amen.
I can read it and I can say it and I can say it's the truth. Even though I may just have a shallow little piece of it.
Amen.
And knowing that there's more in there.
Yep.
And how many quotes have we read? Knowing that there's more in there. Amen. God has more in there that He's unfolding, that He's revealing.
Amen.
That's... I'm good. I know this is thus saith the Lord.
Yes, sir.
I know this is the word of God.
Yes, sir.
But how many times have I, and I was Brother Gorman and I talked about this on Wednesday. How many times has God let me see something in the pulpit preaching it? And I know that's happened to Brother Goomba. I'm sure it's happened to Brother Michael.
Amen.
Brother Goomba not too long ago was preaching, and I don't remember what it was now, but he said, I just seen that. Huh? Yes. And so I can remember when we first, this is 20 years ago, when it first started going to Kenya and we were preaching. We were in Nairi. We were preaching at Brother Caesar's church and we had been talking a good bit about redemption being over and some of those things. And Brother Goomba at that time was just coming into some of those things and some of the brothers were already starting to reject it. And Brother Goomba was still he was always open. And God will keep you open if that seed's in there. He'll
Amen.
Always keep you open. But I can remember we were preaching and I was reading out of the message, Future Home. And I read the quote and it said, and Brother Goomba had been talking about this for days. We'd been talking about it. And I read the quote where Brother Branham said, it's nothing to do with the literal thing.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with the literal thing.
Yeah.
No, it's beyond that. And Brother Goomba was interpreting, and he just stopped right there. And he said, praise God.
Amen.
He seen that. He seen that right there.
Amen.
He seen it. And he's seen where we had been looking at the natural thing, and there, Brother Branham's saying, it don't have anything to do with the natural thing.
Amen.
It's the spiritual thing that God's doing.
Yes.
That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's how many times
mm-hmm.
I can say I've come and I'm comfortable. I can just read it, and when I read it, God will reveal it.
Amen.
And I've said this before when I was at Brother Holmes. I read things, I bring a message, have something on my heart, and I naturally there's things in there you see you want to get across. Have somebody else come to me after the service and tell me something they see that I hadn't seen yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep.
Just because you're a preacher doesn't mean you know everything.
That's right.
Just because you're a preacher don't mean that there's other people that don't know more than you.
That's right.
Just because you're a preacher don't mean you're going to get it first and nobody's going to get it before you.
That's right.
That's another thing Brother Goomba got on Wednesday night.
Yes.
And he nailed it down.
Yes.
Because it's a spirit that gets on people.
Yes.
And when that spirit gets on us, that we're going to be the first one to say it, then when that spirit becomes so strong that you are now going to produce something. You got it. You just, there's something in you. You got to be the first. You've seen other people be first at something, and now you want that same whatever it is. If it's the glory of it, if it's the honor of it, if it's the respect of it, whatever it is that demon is wanting to promote, that's what it is. And that's the thing. Ministers have to... Brother Ram said there's three things. And money, women, and popularity.
Yes, sir.
And popularity is a powerful force.
Yep.
It's a powerful force. That's what's wrong with people that get in power in the government.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to leave it. They don't want to let it go. That everywhere they go, it's power. It's respect. People looking up, people honoring them. It comes to the point where anything they say, people are like, oh, yeah. No, there's a few people who don't... John the Baptist was one of them. He just said, oh no, King, it's not rightful for you to have her.
That's right.
That's your brother's wife. You can't have her.
Yep.
No, you're in sin.
Yep.
That's right. Why? He didn't fear for his life. Maybe something in his mind was telling him there was some fear there. But he overcome that to tell the truth.
Yes, sir.
And so will every believer do the same thing.
Yes,
don't matter if it's your boss man, don't matter who it is, you're going to tell them the truth.
That's right.
You're going to tell them the truth. And the devil won't like it, and they won't like it either unless they're a seed. And if they're a seed, somewhere they're going to come back and they're going to thank you.
Amen.
For telling them the truth.
Yes, sir.
31. Seeing there is much dispute about this person and this subject, I think it behooves us to break into it to find out who this is. Now, there's several schools of thought on him. And one of the schools claims that he's just a myth. He wasn't actually a person, see? And the others say it was a priesthood. And that was a Melchizedek priesthood, see? That's the most likely one. That holds better to that side than they do the other, see? Is because they say it's a priesthood. But it can't be that, see? For in the fourth verse, it says he was a person. Is that right?
Amen.
It says he was a person, a man. So in order to be a person, he has to be a personality. A man, not an order. See, that's what they're talking about on the priesthood. They're talking about a priestly order that could be filled by different ones, maybe. But this is actually a person. So it's not a priesthood, see, but it's a person. So he was not just a priesthood order, neither was he a myth. He was a person. We're talking about Melchizedek. And the person is eternal. If you notice, he had no father. He had no mother.
Right.
He had no time that he ever began. And he had no time that he ever ended. Is that right?
Amen.
That's why I said Brother Branham knew in the 50s. Long before the seals was opened, he knew who Melchizedek was. Because this is the simplicity of the scripture. There's only one who has no beginning and no ending.
Amen.
There's only one who's eternal. And that's God. So that portion of the scripture, Brother Branham knew it, and he knew it well.
Yes.
And he preached it. But there was so much more lying beneath. There was so much more revelation that come on this subject after the seals opened that was to be revealed. And ever who it was, is still alive tonight. Because the Bible said here, that he had neither father nor mother, beginning of days or ending of life. So it would have to be an eternal person. Is that right? Congregation says amen. An eternal person. So it could only be one person, and that's God. Because he's the only one that's eternal. God.
Amen.
Praise be to God. 1 Timothy 6, 15 and 16, if you like to read. See? The thing that I contend is that he was God because he's the only person that can be immortal. And now God changing himself into person, that's what he was. No father, no mother, no beginning of life, no ending of days. That's right. See? Now we find in the scripture that many people teaches three personalities in the Godhead. So you cannot have a personality without being a person. And what's he saying? He's saying if you got three personalities, you got three persons. That's the flaw in the Catholic doctrine of the Trinity doctrine. That's the flaw. Because when you identify three personalities, now you got three persons. And so that's not going to work in the Scripture. That can work everywhere else. So Brother Branham said in this, that there was a Baptist minister came to him and said, Brother Branham, I'd like to straighten you out. I'd like to straighten you out on that. And Brother Branham said, come, bring it, and do it. So he said, one God in three persons. And Brother Branham, paragraph 36, where did you go to school at? He told him the Bible school. Brother Branham said, I could believe that. He said, you cannot be a person without being a personality. And if you're a personality, you are one personality to yourself. You're a separate individual being. Is that right?
Amen.
So that's going to identify on the spiritual side too. That's why I'm reading it. And he said, well, the theologians can't even explain that. So I said, it's by revelation. Now, I want to just take a moment. He said the theologians can't even explain it. When you understand the word and you put it forth to them, they have scripture and they have piles of scripture. And they can dominate you with the scripture unless you are well-versed. And if you are well-versed, this is where they end, right here. Well, even the theologians don't understand it. Because when you don't stay with the continuity of the word on any subject, when you don't stay in the continuity of the word, then there has to be something there that doesn't fit. It's just like a puzzle. It's just like pieces of a puzzle. Or I can remember... I don't remember as a little kid, but I remember there's this little ball thing, round thing, that has a bunch of different shapes in it.
Yes.
That you give to the children when they're small. And it has all of these different little pieces, and every one of them's a different shape. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you want your child to master that, you know, and put the star in the star and the circle in the circle and the square in the square and all of that. And you're trying to help them figure all that, and a lot of times they're not even interested. It's like they don't care. But it's got to fit.
Yes, sir.
And you see them sometime trying to put the square in the round.
Yeah.
It won't fit. Yeah. It will not fit. And when we have an idea, and we all have them.
Yes.
This is not for one person. Only one person has ideas. We all have ideas.
That's right.
We all think with our mind. We all come there because that's the womb.
Yep.
And then that idea, we push it to the message. That's what the seed does.
Yes.
Everything that comes to a seed, they push it to the message.
Yes, sir.
And they're pushing it through the message, through the quotes. And if it goes all the way, Then God reveals that thing.
Amen.
And if it hits a snag somewhere,
yeah,
then they stop right there.
Yes, sir.
And they can see where it might go. It might go down a bunch of other avenues, but it don't fit in this avenue.
Yeah.
And so that's gonna slow this process down.
Yes.
So now here's something that's got to be settled. It's got to be settled before this thing's going to go all the way through. And that's why Brother Branham said that the bride will have thus saith the Lord, or she'll be quiet.
Yes, sir. Amen.
When it don't go all the way through, she'll lay it on the shelf.
Yes, sir.
She'll lay it on the shelf and she'll just leave it there. Doesn't mean it's wrong. It's just it's not fitting. There's something's not fitting. It's not going in that hole.
Amen.
So maybe there's another hole that goes in somewhere. Maybe we don't have this just right.
Amen.
So are we all growing?
Yes, sir.
We're all growing.
Yes,
we're growing in the revelation.
Amen.
Every day, in our old age, we're still growing in the revelation.
Yes, sir.
Even the theologians can't explain it. It's by revelation. this guy, he says, I can't accept revelation. Brother Branham said, well, there's no way for God to ever get to you. Because it's hid from the eyes of the wise and the prudent. And it's revealed to babes. Revealed. Revelation. Revealed to babes such as will accept it, see, and learn. I said, there'll be no way for God to get to you because you close yourself off to Him. Amen. Brother Branham said, that's exactly what happens when people come with their idea. Because that's what the scripture said. He said, in vain do you worship me because you come with your tradition.
Amen.
And your tradition is binding you. It's hindering you from getting the revelation. And what is your tradition? It's your idea. It's your idea or somebody else's idea that you're taking. And now in place of the Word of God. And so Brother Branham said that hinders people from receiving the revelation.
Yes, sir.
The whole Bible is a revelation. See, the whole Bible is a revelation of God. The whole church is built upon the revelation of God. There's no other way to know God. Only by revelation. To whom the Son will reveal it. Revelation. Everything is revelation. Not to accept revelation, then you're just a cold theologian and there's no hope for you. There it is. It's plain and simple. I know that it's as plain as it gets. But we need to refresh ourselves every once in a while that there is nothing coming any other way than by revelation.
Amen.
No other way. Most of this is going to be a revelation, and then there's going to be some things, well, you know, I literally studied this for 12 hours, this one thing, and I know that this is right. As much as you think you know, until He reveals it, it's not.
Amen.
That's right. Because people can say, Lord, Lord. They can say, I believe. They can say all kinds of things. And they can have chill bumps. And they can have sensations. And they can have emotions. Yeah. And they can have every kind of any sensation that there is.
Amen.
And that is not it.
That's right.
And that's why it really amazes me, because the prophet made those things very clear. And that's why it amazes me when somebody in this message that believes this revelation comes and says that their revelation was so powerful that they had chill bumps and that they had this and they had that and they had all of these things that they know it was God. Brother, that scares me.
Amen.
For you.
Yes.
When you're basing it on your chill bumps and you're basing it on how much you cried and you're basing it on how much you felt.
Yep.
That concerns me for you.
Yes, sir.
Uh-uh. That's the thing that ought to scare you.
Yep.
That's the thing that will make you get to this word.
Amen.
38. Now we find out that this person had no father, no mother, no beginning of days or ending of life. It was God in Morphid. This person was God in Morphid. This Melchizedek was God in Morphid.
Yes.
It was God changing His mask.
Amen.
And what form was He in? Brother Branham said He was in the form of a theophany.
Yes, sir.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
So God had changed Himself into a body so that He could be seen. Mm-hmm. That's what He did.
Amen.
And Brother Branham talks about his daughter in school there. They had a play, a Shakespeare, and one of the things about those plays was that they didn't have enough actors to play all the parts. And so one actor would play many parts. And so it was perfect to bring to the people. That's what God was doing. All the time God was revealing Himself in different forms. He just kept changing His mask. The first veil of flesh that God was in was not Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No, He had already revealed Himself in veils of flesh,
yes.
Human flesh. before Jesus was born.
Yep. Amen.
Paragraph 40. And that's what God did. It's the same God all the time. God in the form of the Father, the Spirit. See? The pillar of fire. The same God was made flesh and dwelt among us, immorphed, brought out so he could be seen. And now the same God is the Holy Ghost, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, not three gods, three offices, say three acts of the one God. The Bible said there's one God, not three. That's right. Now you can't get this straightened out and have three gods. You would never sell that to a Jew. See, I'll tell you that. One who knows better, he knows there's only one God. And I think God, that it's not confusing to the bride. She knows there's only one God. But she also knows these scriptures have their place. And they must be understood. Notice, like the sculpture, he hides with a mask over it. And that's what God has done to this age. It's been hid. All these things have been hid. And is supposed to be revealed in this age. And now the Bible says they will be revealed in the latter times. It's like a sculptor, see, keeping his piece of work all covered over until the time he takes the mask off of it. And there it is, see. And that's what the Bible has been. It's been a work of God that's been covered up. It's been hid since the foundation of the world. And it's sevenfold mystery, see. And God promised in this day, at the age of this Laodicean church, that he would take the mask off the whole thing and we could see it. What a glorious thing. Praise God.
Amen.
God in Morphid, mask in the pillar of fire. Huh? Who was the pillar of fire? It was God, just changing so he could be seen. God in Morphid, a man called Jesus. What was he doing? Changing so he could be seen. But you know, every form that God changed himself into, it still had to come by a revelation.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because how many people have you known that seen the, I don't see it here, but the pillar of fire over the prophet?
Amen.
How many has seen that?
Yes, sir.
And said, that's just put there, some man put that there. Huh? You have to have a revelation that that pillar of fire is the same pillar of fire that was with Moses.
Amen.
You have to have a revelation that was the same pillar of fire that was with Paul on the road to Damascus.
Yes, sir.
It was the same one.
Amen.
The same pillar of fire. Not a different one. It was the same one.
Amen.
When Jesus walked upon the earth, he was a man just like every other man. There's nobody that looked at him and said, now, this is the Son of God. Not even the disciples did that.
Amen.
No, because it took a revelation.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Nathanael got his revelation when he said, when I seen you.
Yes.
I seen, when did I know you? I seen you. I seen you yesterday under the tree.
Yes.
You were praying. And your brother came to you and said, come and see. That's when I seen you.
Amen.
He got his revelation right then.
Right.
Everyone else, they just seen a man. They seen a carpenter's son. They seen a carpenter who could build a bench, could build whatever.
Yep.
I'm sure he was good at it.
Yep.
But he was the Son of God.
Amen.
But it took a revelation to know he was the Son of God.
Yes.
It took a revelation to know that pillar of fire was the pillar of fire.
Yes, sir.
Not just a light.
Amen.
Moses knew. Moses wanted it so bad for so long. He seeked to know that God. He wanted to know that God. He wanted to meet that God. And when he finally met him, it was overwhelming because he wanted to know him, but he didn't want to do what God wanted him to do. It was a painful thing. As soon as God revealed himself and let him see him and began to unfold himself and began to unfold his plan.
Amen.
And that what God had in his mind, that he was going to send Moses back down there to Pharaoh, the one he just ran away from, because that he had killed that Egyptian.
Yep.
Now God wants him to go back down there and deliver the children of Israel.
Amen.
And Moses is flabbergasted. He's like, who am I? Who am I to go there? And God told him what he would do. God said he'd be with him. And this conversation went on to the point that God got angry with Moses. This is not what Moses wanted to do. And it may not be what you want to do. But when God calls you, it's exactly what Adam said when we talked at the house with the brothers. He said, I know God has something for me to do. And he said, I don't want to do it. It don't matter. That's what happens when that new birth comes.
Amen.
We surrender.
Yes.
We surrender and we do what we don't want to do.
Yes.
It's just the flesh that don't want to do it.
Amen.
That inner man wants to serve God. That inner man wants to please God.
Yes, sir.
And God will get a hold of that and God will bring forth that new life.
Amen.
He will quicken that life and he will bring forth. See, God immorphed in his church. Those three steps. That pillar of fire that came out of him in the beginning. That Logos that came out of him in the beginning. Then, thousands of years later, there was the fullness of the Godhead bodily in a veil of flesh.
Amen.
And then, thousands of years later, it comes to the end time, and there he is, in his people. That's where he was going all the time. That's where he was going. God above us, God with us, God in us. The condescending of God. See, up there holy, no one could touch him. He settled on the mountain. Even if an animal touched the mountain, it had to die. And then God come down, changed his tent, come down and lived with us, become one of us. We beheld him. The Bible said, 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. For God was manifested in the flesh, handled with hands. God ate meat. God drank water. God slept. God cried. He was one of us. Beautiful, typed in the Bible. And that's why some people thought it couldn't be God. That's just exactly why. You remember the woman who told Brother Branham, I can prove to you by the Bible that he wasn't God. Mm-hmm. Brother Branham said, do it. Mm-hmm. Said he cried, he wept. Mm-hmm. Well, that was the man part.
Yeah.
The God part is what stood at the grave of Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come forth.
Amen.
That was the God. That was the God part.
Yes, sir.
The man part was compassion. The man part could cry. Yes, the man part could die. 149. This is in the Hebrew series, Hebrews chapter 1. I got something out of Hebrews chapter 1 and part 6 also. Some preacher said to me some time ago, said, Brother Branham, you wouldn't actually think that was God, would you? No, he's talking there at the tent door of Abraham. And this man is saying, no, you don't really believe that's God. I said, the Bible said it was God, Elohim, which he was Almighty God, the El Shaddai, that's right, the strength giver, the satisfier. Oh, I feel religious. Think of it now. See, as he is now, I'm going to show you who he is here, and then you will see who the Son is. And that's what I want to get. That's part of what I want to get here, who the Son is. Who is the Son? Huh? Is it just a veil of flesh 2,000 years ago? No. It's more than that. That was Jesus, see? Before he had the human name. See? Before he had the human name, Jesus. Now let's back up to 150 and read it again. The Bible said it was God, Elohim, which he was Almighty God, El Shaddai, that's right, the strength giver, the satisfier, amen. Oh, I feel religious, think of it now. As he is now, I'm going to show you who he is here. And then you'll see who the Son is. That was Jesus before he had the human name Jesus.
Amen.
Stood there at the fountain that day, and they was all drinking, you know, and having the waters was in the wilderness, things like that. They was eating the manna. And he said, our fathers eat manna in the wilderness for 40 years. And he said, and there everyone did. Said, I am the bread of life that come down from God out of heaven. He that eats this bread shall never die. They said, well, our fathers drank from the spirit, drank from the spiritual rock that was in the wilderness that followed them. And he said, I am that rock. Well, that was just too much for them. Too much for them to comprehend. Glory. St. John, the sixth chapter, see? And they said, what? Yes, that's right. Why, he said, they said, you're not even 50 years old. And something, watch this next comment. Of course, his work made him look a little old. His work made him look a little old. Yeah, because he went through a lot. He went through a lot of pressure. He went through a lot to bring forth the revelation of that day.
Amen.
But he was only 30 years old. You're a man not over 50, said, and you say you've seen Abraham? That's been dead for 800 or 900 years? We know now that you're a devil. And he said, before Abraham was, I am. There he is. Who was the I am? The perpetual name for all generations. See, the pillar of fire in the burning bush. I am that I am. That's how he identified himself. When he spoke to Moses, Moses wanted to know. Who do I tell them? Who do I tell them sent me?
That's right.
Who are you? What's your name?
Yeah.
Moses wanted a lot, didn't he? He wanted to see him. And God honored him. He said he couldn't see his face, but he let him see the backside of a man. He seen him.
Amen.
He told him, tell him I am that I am. See? And there he was, that theophany met, called the Son of God. See? I am the Jehovah. He's identifying. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
He's identifying the theophany. He's identifying the Son of God. 158. Thomas said, Lord, show us the Father and it'll suffice us. And he said, have I been so long with you and you don't know me? Said, when you see me, you see the Father. Why say, show us thou the Father? I and the Father are one. My Father dwelleth in me. I'm just a tabernacle called the Son. What is he? Just a tabernacle, just a house, just a house. Just changing his mask, God in morphed, changing so he can be seen, so he can be touched, so he can be felt, so he could be what? So he could die.
Amen.
Because God couldn't die.
That's
and
right.
God, this part of the revelation being unfolded was that God was going to die and redeem man. That was the part for that day.
Amen.
The part in Adam's day was for him to fall.
Yep.
And that's what had to happen.
That's right.
What had to be manifested.
Amen.
He had to fall. But he couldn't do it on his own because he was made in the image of God.
Amen.
So Adam could not be deceived. So Satan couldn't get Adam to commit the act.
That's right.
He had to have somebody that could be deceived.
Amen.
And that's the reason that the woman was made the way she was made.
Yep.
That was the reason. That was the purpose. So she could fall. That was it.
Amen.
But you just remember, when you are born again, God puts something in you that cannot be deceived.
That's right.
By any man, by any devil, by any spirits, by any angel, by anybody. God has put something in every man and every woman.
Amen.
That they cannot be deceived by anyone.
That's That's right.
That's thus saith the Lord.
Yes, sir.
That's the scripture. That's the message.
Yep. Amen.
Because that's the teacher. And the teacher in you will not let you be deceived.
Amen.
Now, standing back there, he said, I'm just a tabernacle called the Son. The Father dwells in me, not me that doeth the works. It's my Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works, not me. Now, standing back there again, Moses seen him, the hind part of him, and said, look like the back of a man. The Logos that went out from him. What was it?
Logos.
That he seen, that that Moses seen, he seen the back of a man.
Amen.
And Brother Branham's saying, that was the Logos.
That's right.
Huh? That was the theophany. That was him in his theophany form.
Amen.
And remember, when we put the list on the board, it was a long list. He was the Logos. He was the Word. He was the Son of God.
Amen.
He was the pillar of fire. He was the anointing. He was the anointed. He was all of those things. He identified all of those things, that Logos coming out of God.
Amen.
And he identified it as the Son of God.
Yep.
And there was no flesh to be for billions of years. Billions and billions of years. Brother Branham said that Logos came out, said that he took us back billions and billions and billions of years.
Amen.
And he said that was the Son of God. Then what happened? This was God. That's the reason he had become from Logos to flesh. See what happened? See, he was the Logos, but what did he do? See? Now, Brother Ram takes the turn. Now, our bodies are made out of the 16 elements, different elements of the world. You know that. We know that. It's made out of potash and calcium, petroleum, cosmic light, atoms, and so forth. All bundled together and makes this body. Comes from the dust of the earth. You eat the food. As you eat the food, see, it turns from the dust, and it comes from the dust, see, and it goes right on. Your flesh, as far as your flesh, see, is no different from a horse or a cow or anything else. It's just flesh. That's why we're scientifically mammal, right? We're animal. And from the flesh standpoint, and Brother Branham said, a man without God is no more than just an animal, a wild animal.
That's right.
They can do the worst of the worst. You read back through the histories and you see what men have done. And it's in every country. You can't, I think this guy, Brother Gumba, I have a hard time pronouncing his name, but in Uganda. The one that killed so many people? Yeah.
Indamin.
Yeah. The guy was brutal. The guy was brutal, and he was just, it was a genocide. He was just killing. He killed all the soldiers. He killed, you know, he had his own tribe that he was only bringing his own people in, and so he was killing the rest of them. Instead of just letting them go, he killed them.
He would eat them too.
Yeah, he killed one of his wives and put her head in the refrigerator. And it was just the guy was brutal, bloodthirsty. But he's not the only one. There was many of them.
Amen.
There was many of them throughout history that just had no regard for life, just pure animal. And Brother Branham said, without God, then we become that. We're no more than that. And this flesh is no more than is the flesh of an animal.
Yep.
It's made up of the same elements, made up of the same thing. But God put a soul in man to bring forth God. See? And you glory, 163, and boy, you glorify the flesh, but that spirit has a soul in there, my brother. That's right. But your flesh is just dust of the earth like the animal. Your flesh is no more than an animal. And if you lust after the flesh, and the thing you see, lust after women, lust after these things, different things, see, it's still animal. That's right. See, you shouldn't do it. The Spirit of God will lead you on and put you on a higher plane than that. That's right. That's what we're after. Now, he's getting back to the point here. This great theophany standing here. See? The great Jehovah God. You know what he said. He just reached over and he got a handful of atoms. Got a little light. Poured it in him like this. Went, whew, a body. Just stepped into that. That's all. Here come Gabriel. The Brother Gumbo even talked about this Wednesday night. He mentioned it. The great archangel. Whew, step into that. Come here, Michael. The angel at his right side. Whew, stepped into that. God and two angels walked down there in human flesh. And they drank milk from a cow. And they ate the butter of the milk. And eat some cornbread. And eat the flesh of the calf. Two angels and God. The Bible said that's Melchizedek that Abraham met coming from the slaughter of the kings.
Amen.
That's the Son of God. Who is it?
The Son of God.
The Son of God. Melchizedek.
Amen.
Huh? What was he? He was just God in Morphet. He was just God, the Logos that came out of God.
Amen.
Brother Branham said that pillar of fire was the first bodily form. But that bodily form was a theophany that came forth.
Amen.
And just as you have one waiting for you, he has one too.
Yes, sir.
And that was the form, the Logos that came out of God in the beginning. That was the Son of God. That's why he identified it as the Son of God.
Amen.
Let me read it again. 167. God and two angels walked down here in human flesh. And drink the milk from a cow. Eat the butter out of the milk. Eat some cornbread. Eat the flesh of the cow. Two angels and God. And the Bible said, that's Melchizedek that Abraham met, coming from the slaughter of the kings. That's the Son of God. Now, this is in 1965. And Brother Branham makes these statements back in 1957. Well, there's other statements that Brother Branham made in 1957 that he changed in this revelation, which he identified in the first sentences of this message. He said another revelation. And that revelation is that you were not in your theophany before you came to the earth. You were not in it. Jesus was. He was theophany before he became flesh.
That's right.
You were not. You bypassed the theophany.
Yes, sir.
But you have one waiting for you.
That's right.
168. See, here in Hebrews the 7th chapter said, but made in the order like unto the Son of God. You notice that when we read it a while ago. After the order of the Son of God, there he is. He made all things by him. See? And he walked right out there and just changed that dust right back to dust again and stepped right back into glory. See? And the angels, as soon as they delivered Lot and Mrs. Lot, and she kept looking back, he said, told them not to do it again. They stepped right back into the presence of God. They went from that right back, from that flesh right back. Amen. 170. What a great hope we have, this great faith that we serve tonight. The living God, the Jehovah, the pillar of fire is with us. Shows himself in power and action and magnify. Let them take the picture of him, the same Jehovah, the Son of God that came from God, went back to God, and dwells in his church forevermore. There he is. Praise be to God. Now, this is in Hebrews the 6th chapter. And I'm going to begin reading. We'll start at 627 there. He's just give you a start. The forerunner, he tells us there's a place just beyond yonder where you'll never get old, where there'll be no wrinkles, where you won't have to use max factors to make you look so nice to your husband. The forerunner has went on. There's never a place where you get old and weary and shaky. There's a place where you'll never get sick, where the baby will never have to colic, where you'll never shed a tooth or get a false one. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be his name. He entered in immortal. We'll stand in his likeness someday yonder. Amen. The stars and the sun, they'll outshine. Certainly. The forerunner has gone before us.
Yes, sir.
The forerunner is gone and has for us entered. Even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now this great forerunner has gone before us, making a way. He become from spirit the great fountains of the rainbow of God, who had no beginning or no ending. He was forever God. And this ray of light went forth. It was a ray of love. That's the main one, red. Brother Randall's going to type it with the rainbow. And he said that was love. The next color follows, which was blue. Blue is trueness. See? Next followed after that was the other colors, through the seven perfect colors, which is the seven spirits of God that went from the great fountain or the great diamond that Jesus spoke of. That great diamond was chipped to reflect these colors. And God was made flesh and dwelt among us, that he might reflect his goodness and mercy among us by gifts and signs and wonders. The whole big rainbow had become in a theophany to make in the image like man. Yet he wasn't a man. He didn't have flesh yet. He was a theophany. And Moses said, I'd like to see you. And God hid him in a rock. And when he passed by, he turned his back, and Moses said, it looked like the back of a man. And then what come to pass? One day down there, Abraham was sitting in his tent. We'll go get it tonight. See, when Abraham was sitting in his tent, God came up to him in a body of flesh. And we'll find him out there meeting Abraham before that in the order of Melchizedek. See, a body of flesh, which was God. Sure it was. He was God in flesh. So Brother Ram talked about when Melchizedek visited him in a theophany, then he comes to the tent door of Abraham. He created a flesh body and entered into that. What is he doing? He just keeps changing. Changing his mask. But he's the same God all the time.
Yes,
he's
sir.
The same nature all the time.
That's right.
The same God, the same gifts of the Spirit, the same everything. The same God expressing himself, just changing his mask. And the people of that age, he reveals to his elected ones to recognize his presence. You say, Brother Branham, why would he have to come back and be born? He wasn't born then. He was just created. A body that he dwelt in. Melchizedek was the king of Salem, which is the king of Jerusalem, which is the king of peace, which had neither father nor mother, beginning of days or ending of life. Jesus had both a father and a mother. Jesus had a beginning of days and an ending of life. But he was made after the order of Melchizedek,
amen,
which had no beginning of days or ending of life. Melchizedek, see, and this is the beauty of the revelation is, that all of these statements, God gives you the ability to place them in the right place.
Yes, sir. Yes.
It gives you the ability to separate the flesh from the spirit.
Amen.
Because the God that was in Jesus Christ could not die. He was eternal.
That's right.
He couldn't give his life. He couldn't die. So this man had to be flesh and blood,
yes,
so that he could die.
Amen.
It was God's purpose. So that God could manifest that attribute of Savior.
Yeah.
That attribute was in him.
Yes, sir.
And that's the beauty and of whatever you think or you say about Adam. That's the beauty of what Adam did. Did he forfeit eternal life? He certainly did. But he did it for his wife.
Yes, sir.
And that's the same thing Christ did.
That's right.
The first Adam and the second Adam, they did the same thing. Yes. They both went after their wife. They both saved their wife.
Amen.
Yeah, absolutely. Brother Branham said, what was he supposed to do according to the word, according to the law?
Mm-hmm.
She was to die right there with the serpent.
Mm-hmm.
She was to be slain right there and put away because she had went with another. But the God in Abraham, I mean the God in Adam, would not let him do that.
Amen.
There's no mistakes.
That's right.
There's no mistakes in the Word of God.
Yes.
It's perfect.
Yes.
It's perfect. Any you turn it any way you want to, it's perfect.
Amen.
6:35. Melchizedek was God himself. Melchizedek was Jehovah God. Who was Jesus? God himself. Jehovah God, is that right?
Yes.
The same one that met Abraham years later in front of his tent, had his back turned to him, and said, "Why did Sarah laugh?" That's right. He was the one who stood there looking over toward Sodom. And Abraham recognized him because inside of this his veil was an anchor holding that promise. See, this was the one who gave Abraham the promise. And Abraham recognized it. This is the one who promised me a son. This is the one who gave me an unconditional covenant. This is the one who said, my seed will be as the sand of the sea and as the stars of the heavens.
Amen.
Abraham had the revelation. And that's why when he seen three coming, he said, my Lord, singular.
Yeah.
He knew what he was looking at.
Amen.
He knew what he was looking at. Lot didn't know what he was looking at. See, not because he had some sensation, but God made him a promise. That's right. And when he come in contact with that magnet, he knew it was in that flesh. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. Whatever this is the ability of the bride in every age is to recognize God Almighty, the creator of heavens and earth, in whatever veil he's hiding in. Wherever he's at, however he's hiding himself, whatever mask he's taken on, the bride has the ability by revelation to recognize the presence of God.
Amen.
Now, don't matter what you put him in, don't matter what kind of flesh you put him in, you can put him in the smartest man. And you take Moses and Paul, two of the smartest men on the face of the earth in their day.
Yes, sir.
They exceeded their teachers. They had all of the learning of military, of science, of everything. They had all of that knowledge. And when God came down and revealed himself, they could recognize it.
Yeah.
Until then, they didn't recognize it. It was just their ideas. But there was something longing for it. Both of them was longing to know this God. And when he revealed himself, they could recognize it. And they could believe that that was it.
Yeah.
And then there was those, they couldn't even sign their name. They just had a little scratch. That's what the Bible said. They were ignorant and they were unlearned. But they had a revelation. The veil that God was hiding in their day, they recognized it.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
He could change every day and you'll recognize him. See, he walked out with Abraham, out there a little piece, and he told Abraham, seeing that, I'll keep these things from Abraham. To see that he's the heir of the world. I just won't do it. So Abraham, I'll tell you what I'm on my road to do. We pick it up tonight down there in Sodom. And that's what they was going to do. See, as soon as he had blessed Abraham, he went back into space again. A man that stood there and had dust on his clothes. See, a man. And not only that, but he eat the flesh of a calf that Abraham killed, drinking the milk from the cow. He eats some hoe cakes, some cornbread, had butter on it, see? That's exactly right. And then he turned back to the theophany again. What was it? Why didn't he take it then? See? He had never been born like you and I. He had to be born in the flesh so that he could hold that stinger. That was a created body. Now, we asked the question a while ago, why did he have to come back and be born? Now he's answering the question.
Yes.
He had a created body there. Could have done the same thing. Could have used the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But this had to be born of a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the way the fall came.
Mm-hmm.
And this one had to be a virgin birth. Because that one came by adultery.
Yes, sir.
So this one This one had to come with no sensation, with no sex, with no anything, and come through that woman.
Amen.
So he could hold that stinger. So he could feel it. So he could know what it was.
That's right.
That was a created body. That was a body that he just pulled the calcium and the potash out of the earth and said, whew, and stepped into it. That was the same thing Melchizedek was. He stepped into him in a body that he could walk out before him under the veil. Of a veil of his own creation. Not a veil of the creation of a woman through the womb of a woman. See? Through a sail. Never. But he created this and stepped into it and talked in the order of Melchizedek. That's exactly right. Praise God. Now, I'm going to go back in this message. We're going to close here in just a minute. In paragraph 44, who is this Melchizedek? And I have a little bit I want to get out of this message because Brother Branham is going to talk about the theophany a good bit, and he's going to talk about the new birth. And at the same time, he's identifying him changing his mask. He's identifying that Logos that came out of God was the Son of God. It was the theophany. And so that theophany was manifested in Melchizedek. And Brother Branham said that was Jesus Christ. He said the man hadn't been born yet.
Amen.
But the theophany was. And Brother Branham said in this message, in this revelation, he said he was in his theophany before he became flesh.
Amen.
He was the Word and he knew all things. And he said, we didn't. We bypassed that. We didn't know all things. God came down and became flesh and died the death in Christ so that he could clean the church in order to get it into it for fellowship. God loves fellowship. That's what he made the man at the first time for, was for fellowship. God dwells alone with cherubims. And notice now, he made man, and man failed. So he came down and redeemed man, because God loves to be worshipped. The very word God means the object of worship. Now, he just said, God loves fellowship. And he said, that's what he put man there for. And that's what they had, isn't it? They had fellowship. Every day they fellowshiped.
Amen.
They had that fellowship together. And then God redeemed the man, and God loves to be worshipped. And so God wanted that worship, and God is receiving that. See, the very word God means the object of worship. Now, this that comes among us as a pillar of fire, as something that changes our hearts, that's the same God that said, let there be light. And there was light. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, he said, the same pillar of fire that comes among us to change our hearts. The same one.
Amen.
Think about it. Think about what he's saying, and he's identifying, and he's changing his mask to accomplish every task, every expression, every attribute that God had in his mind. He's changing his mask to manifest that part of the attribute, that part of the promise. And that's why when it comes today, it's in the bride. Because that's the problem. That's the attribute.
Yes, sir.
That's what he opened the door for at Calvary.
Amen.
So that it's not just in one man, but now it's in a many-membered body.
Yes, sir.
And that's why it had to come further than from Adam. It had to come to the bride in this day. 48. Those who have tonight eternal life was with him and in his thinking. Before there was an angel, a star, a cherubim, or anything else. So you were there before anything.
Amen.
Eternal in his mind.
Yes, sir.
See, that's eternal. And if you have eternal life, you always was. Not your being here, but the shape and form that the infinite God. See? Let's read that again. If you have eternal life, you always was. And where did he say you was? In his thinking.
Amen.
In his mind. In his eternal thoughts. Not your being here. This flesh is not eternal. This has a beginning and an ending. Okay? But the shape and the form that the infinite God, see? Now, if he isn't infinite, he isn't God. God has to be infinite. And we are finite. He's infinite. See? Now, he was omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent. If he isn't, then he can't be God. He knows all things, all places, because he's omnipresent. Omniscient makes him omnipresent. He is a being. He's not like the wind. He's a being. He dwells in a house. What is he? He's a person.
Yep.
He's a being.
Amen.
Being omniscient, knowing all things, makes him omnipresent because he knows all things that's going on. You know, that is just, that's a revelation in itself. Because I know myself, I don't know how you've seen it before, but myself, that's exactly the way Brother Branham described people. That's exactly what I thought. God is just everywhere.
Amen.
His spirit is just, it's everywhere. But Brother Branham said it's not like that. Brother Branham said he's a person.
Yes, sir.
He's a person. And the reason that he's omnipresent is because he knows everything happening everywhere. Because he predestinated it. He allowed it. He had it in his mind. He knows everything that's happening all the time.
Yes, sir.
But God himself is a person.
Amen.
He is a being. And he dwells in his word.
That's right.
And he's manifesting himself constantly, over and over and over, by changing his mask.
Amen.
I don't know the words. I don't have the words to say it. Omniscient makes him omnipresent. He's a being. Not like the wind. He's a being. He dwells in a house. See? But being omniscient, knowing all things, makes him omnipresent because he knows everything that's going on. There can't be a flea. We talked about this the other day. There can't be a flea bat its eye. But what he noted. See? He knowed before there was a world. How many times it would bat its eye. How much tallow it had in it. Before there ever was a world, that is infinite. We can't comprehend it in our minds, but that's God, see, infinite. And remember you, your eyes, your statue, whatever you were in his thinking at the beginning. And the only thing that you are is the expression word. After he thought it, he spoke it, and here you are. If it isn't, if you wasn't in his thinking, there's no way at all for you to ever be there.
Amen.
For he is the one that gives eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
You remember how we read the scripture. Not him that willeth or him that runneth, but God. And that's predestination. See, and that's his, and that his predestination might stand true, he could choose before any time who. God is sovereign in his choosing. Did you know that? God is sovereign. Who was back there to tell him a better way to make the world? Who would dare to tell him he was running his business wrong? See, the very word itself, very sovereign. Even the revelation is sovereign. He reveals to whom he will reveal.
Amen.
These are powerful statements.
Yes.
These are powerful statements. I'd like to sometime just take that one word, sovereign. A sovereign God. I know, I think Brother Holmes preached it one time when I was overseas. I never listened to the message. But I heard that was a really good message. But I've seen Brother Branham talk about it over and over and over again. Everything about God is sovereign. Nobody was there. Nobody was there to help him think, let it be this way and this way and this way and this way.
Amen.
No. It was every bit what he had in his mind. And it's every bit coming to pass perfectly the way he had it in his mind.
Yes, sir.
And he, even the revelation, is sovereign. Nobody is going to know it. Nobody is going to understand it unless he reveals it to him.
Amen.
Nobody. Nobody has the ability. And God proves that. He proves it in every way. There's people spend their whole life studying the Bible, studying the message, studying. And there's men who have went through the whole message. They went through the whole message. They've wrote books about it. And lots of knowledge, lots of good things that they brought out. But that's not revelation. That doesn't make it a revelation. It's a revelation when God reveals it to you.
That's right.
When he unfolds himself to you. When you come into a relationship. And I had a customer one time, and it was a real nice couple. And unfortunately, they couldn't live with one another, and they went through a divorce just right after that. But I was talking to him one day, and so he was a very, very intelligent man. He was a German. He was an inventor, and he precision worker. He invented machines that would make stuff just to extreme precision. And so it was really, really something. And he took me into his shop and showed me some of the stuff that he had created and worked on. And so we got to talking one day about some spiritual things. And so he threw a scripture out. And he said, yeah, and he said, but a lot of these people, they think there's something. He said, and I could tell he didn't know that much about the Bible, because it was like he had a couple scriptures that he used when it was convenient for him to use. And this one was, you know, the scripture says that they're going to say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. And he said, he's going to say, I never knew you. And so he was making a big deal out of that. And I told him, I said, but you know he knew of them, right? You knew that he knows all things, right? And he just looked at me like, and then his wife was a senior pastor at a church. So she was some type of theologian. She had went to Bible school, all of that. And so it caught her attention. And so now she's listening. And so he said, so what are you talking about? I said, when the scripture said, I never knew you, I said, it's the same word, no, as in Genesis, when Adam knew his wife and she conceived. And I said, he never knew them in a relationship. I said, he knows all things, but he never knew them by relationship. So they were not able to conceive, and they were not able to reproduce the life of him himself. And so when I explained to him what the word know or knew, she acknowledged it, that she had knew that from her studies. And so, but he was just putting other people down to make himself better. And so, and there's too much of that going on.
Yes.
And that's something that I think Brother Gumbo was hitting the other night. And that's something it's got to go away. It's got to be put behind us, because that's the ways of the flesh.
Yes.
And when we find joy in putting other people down, then there's something wrong with our experience. There's something wrong with the spirit that's in us. It shouldn't be like that. It doesn't mean that we have to put up with Satan's antics. We don't have to put up with Satan's lies. We don't have to put up with those things. But usually what happens is we just try to to give space between those places. And so Satan is always going to be pushing. Satan's always going to be fighting. And more so as we see the days growing closer to the end. We know that. And so the thing for the bride is to recognize, is just recognize her position. And as Brother Branham talked about creating that atmosphere, let's create that atmosphere.
Yes, sir.
In every trial, in every trouble, in everything that Satan is trying to do in these last days, let's create that atmosphere. Let's stand on the word. Let's walk in the spirit. Let's talk in the spirit. Let's manifest what he has called us to manifest, and do everything we can to resist Satan, because he's there and he's working overtime, and
God is right on time. God is His word. Brother Ram said every time that Satan does something, that God raises up a standard. And so we have that to lean on. We have that comfort to know that no matter what Satan throws out there, we have something greater to lean on, to carry us through. And so let us go forth with the full armor of God. We have the full revelation. We have the fullness of the Spirit. Let us let it work in our lives.
Yes.
Amen. But Brother, if you'll come and sing a song, give us a song. We ask you to stand together with us. We appreciate you, each one. We want to continue to be in prayer for the Easter meetings, and that God will do something. Just speak to us every service. Give us something special, and just every day. We want every day to draw closer to Him, that He might have His way. And so,
amen. Do you know Walk in the Spirit? Do we have it in the song book? I wonder, he was talking about walking in the Spirit. I wanted to sing that chorus we used to sing, Walk in the Spirit of the... But I don't see it. I'm not sure if I know all the words, but I think we can work through it. Let's sing that chorus. Walk in the
Spirit. Walk in the Spirit of the Lord, and you'll see Jesus. Spirit of the Lord, you'll see the King. Walk in the Spirit of the Lord, and you'll find Him. He's resurrected in a body. He lives in me.
Sing verse 1.
You will find Him. He's ready.
Close us out in a word of prayer. Really enjoyed the message this morning, and a lot of good things said. And I can tell you, I didn't catch it all, so I'm going to have to go back and study. And I know we'll all get in our prayer closet and study it. And you come expecting this morning, that's what happened. We heard from the Lord. So.
Amen.
Thank you, God. Bless you,
God. Praise God. That was good. It's quite a mystery. It's quite a mystery about who is this Melchizedek? Who is this guy?
Yeah.
It's a great mystery. And you go to the churches around there, they think it's a man. They think it's a guy who lived somewhere, who didn't have a father. In other words, the father was not known. The father was not known. The mother, he just appeared. And he had a father maybe somewhere, but the people didn't know it. That's what people think. Mm-hmm. You go to, there are different teachings about that.
Yeah.
Then, until the prophet came and said who he was.
Yes.
That's why a prophet is very, very important on earth.
Yes.
He comes to open up things that have not been known. Because it comes from heaven, a revelation comes from heaven, it comes to one man, to that one man called the prophet.
Yes.
And then he opens it up.
Amen.
And Brother Don said, it is not on this who is this Melchizedek that he knew who this man was. Mm. This is a new thing completely.
Yes.
This is a new thing completely. He knew who this man was. That was not the revelation that was bringing here. He knew it. But now he's bringing something else. But we are not in that theophany.
Amen.
Like God was in the theophany. And many other things, but that's one of them, brother. We are not in it ourselves.
Amen.
Adam was not in it. We are not in it. But that is where we go after here. He went to prepare a place. When he's ready, he got there. Now, here, from here, when you die, death does not do you nothing. You just step into that.
Amen.
To that reopening. And he went there himself and he came and told us exactly what it was. It's a great, great, great revelation. Completely different from what he thought that we are in our reopening now. Mm-hmm. And that's a big thing, brother, that's going on in the midst of churches.
Yes.
And he came to us, no, this body, this is not theophany.
Amen.
This is not theophany. But Jesus was in his theophany before, and I'm not preaching. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I don't know where we would be, Lord God, without you doing what you did, Lord. This is a great thing, Father, that you've done, Lord. And then you picked us, Lord. We haven't done nothing, Lord. You picked us and brought us to this. It is your will, Lord God, that, Father, you've done to bring us to this and open it to us, Lord God, the way we've done. Thank you, Father. We can't thank you enough for this, Lord. We pray, Father, that we identify ourselves, Lord God, to the world with this. Let the people know that we are that and how far, Lord God, you've done in us, Lord God. We are thank you, Father. Bless the people now. Let that, Father, that has been spoken today, Lord God, be not just a story, but something real, Lord God, in each man's heart. There were very great things and very many things that were said, Lord God, that are great, that are good, Lord God. Let it live in us, Lord. Let it will show, Lord God, when the people look at us, Father, it will be real. It will be reality, Lord. Thank you, Father, for everything. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray.
Amen. Amen.